Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, March 17th, 2014. And in today's podcast, we return to the crisis in Ukraine, Crimea, for the seventh time. Both sides in this dispute feel that what they might possibly gain from the terrible risk they are so willing to take outweighs these risks in order to achieve these gains. When I say sides, and they, I am talking about people, because it is people who want, who decide, and who maneuver. Governments are just enterprises shared by many individuals who work, believe, and maneuver for positions that will allow them to influence the entire enterprise to do what they want. This dynamic exists on both sides of this dispute. What kind of person, then, would seek these positions of influence within the enterprise? You and I can just imagine for yourself, but here is a living example of one of those people. Russia just released a tape recording of U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland talking to Jeffrey Pyatt, U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, in which the two of them were assembling the government that took over Ukraine. This is long before the actual coup. There is no doubt whatsoever, who orchestrated this coup. I know that, now you know that, and Russia certainly knows that. Victoria Nuland, Assistant U.S. Secretary of State, her husband is Robert Kagan, one of the co-founders of the Project for a New American Century. This was outlined in Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, The Grand Chessboard. In his book, Brzezinski mapped all of it out, all the Middle East and Ukraine. This was back in 1997. It has been a blueprint for what's been happening in the world ever since then. You simply cannot get more neocon than Robert Kagan, husband of the Assistant U.S. Secretary of State. This is one of those people. Well, the United States and the EU agreed to certain things when the Soviet Union broke up, the U.S., the EU, and NATO versus the Soviet Union and now the Russian Federation, made agreements and gave each other assurances at the time of the breakup and the contraction of the Soviet Union into the Russian Federation that exists today. The United States and the EU agreed not to expand NATO and the EU into the Soviet sphere of influence, the old Soviet countries. Well, there is no nation that is more sphere of influence for Russia than Ukraine. NATO was created post-World War II to defend Europe from an expansionist and imperialistic Soviet Union. Excuse me. As that threat dissolved and the Soviet Union was no more, NATO remained and even expanded. American troops remained, and the missile defense shield remained until recently. So the deal was never kept from day one. Russia was to disband much of its military and close its bases around the world. This it did. The only permanent base outside the old Soviet Union is Tartus in Syria. Russia was also to receive debt relief and Western capital input to help restore its oil and gas industries. That it got, and that it did. Both sides would be nuclear armed to the mad standards that is mutually assured destruction, but would assist each other in preventing nuclear proliferation into other countries. This Russia has not done. Look at Iran and North Korea for examples, perhaps others. So both sides, and remember, we're talking about people who come and go from both sides, both violated these agreements. However, the U.S. has followed a policy of encirclement of Russia. This time, Russia moved strongly and militarily to defend its interests, especially its base in Crimea. Well, we know that the referendum in Crimea was held yesterday. 79.8% of the people of Crimea eligible to vote voted, and 95% of them voted for joining Russia. The White House, the European Union countries, and Japan all rejected this referendum. They reject the right of the people of Crimea to self-determination. That's interesting, isn't it? The U.S.-EU side has threatened to impose sanctions on the Russia side. So let's take a look at what some of those potential sanctions are and what they could do. Russia has a lot at risk if the U.S.-EU act together as a bloc, and this appears likely with Angela Merkel's very strong statement a few days ago in support of sanctions. The sanctions could trigger a massive capital flight out of Russia and into the dollar as a safe haven, thus strengthening the dollar. Visa bans and asset freezes would affect those oligarchs living in Miami Beach and the French Riviera. I imagine they would be very unhappy going back to very cold and very frozen Moscow. Russia has threatened to retaliate in kind, including leaving the dollar. But the banks report that this is a battle Russia cannot win. If Russia uses its ultimate economic option and suspends oil and gas exports, it shuts off its own source of foreign capital, chokes its one-trick pony economy to death, while destroying its own credibility as an oil gas producer. Russian companies have hundreds of billions of foreign debt, as does Russia itself, and it has threatened to repudiate that debt and nationalize foreign companies. Well, they should ask Venezuela how that goes. The world would not be anxious to ever invest in Russia again. The EU is Russia's number one trading partner, and Germany alone has hundreds of billions of dollars invested there. In summary, a sanctions war would be, as Ambrose Evans Pritchard put it, painful for Germany, but perhaps fatal for Russia. Remember, folks, that we are talking about people on both sides of the equation, people who have sought power their entire lives, who have lusted for it, schemed to get it, and now they have it. Hundreds of millions of other people on each side wait to see how these people, so corrupted by power, will use it. Will cooler heads prevail and the sanctions be just symbolic and face-saving? Time will tell. Until next time, folks, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.